Why don't we go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26 as we continue our study through the book of Genesis. We're going to be picking up basically where we left off. And so I'm going to draw your attention to Genesis 26 beginning in verse 12. We'll go ahead and we'll read through the chapter together. Then Isaac sowed in that land, that is the land that the Lord told him to stay in, and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father Abraham or his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech, who was the king of that area of Gerar, said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there, but the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." And so he called the name of the well Ezek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth. Because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my name," or for my servant Abraham's sake, rather. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzzath, one of his friends, and Phishkol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" But they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." So we said, "Let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It came to pass that same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." And so he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. And Father, we thank you once again for this time that we can study your word together. I pray, God, that you would pour out blessings upon blessings over our service. And Lord, you know where each one of us are at. And so we ask that you would reach us and meet us right where we're at. Lord, we're looking for understanding and clarity and direction for our own lives, but also we want even more so to understand your word and your will. And Lord, once we understand your word and your will, Lord, we want to be faithful to do your will. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to be more than just hearers of your word, but also doers. And I ask that you would give me the ability to just share your truths and principles that will help. And I pray that as I do my part, Lord, I'm trusting that you're going to do the real work here. And I pray that you would work in every heart that's here and bring application and instruction by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, let me ask you, when you hear the word tower, what comes to your mind? Maybe for you, the Eiffel Tower. That comes, you get that picture in your mind of the Eiffel Tower, or maybe Trump Tower. A lot of Trump going on, a lot of trumpets being blown, a lot of hot air. Or maybe even the Twin Towers. Now, there are other towers that have, and this is certainly in my opinion, far more importance than these towers, even though they are not as awe-inspiring. And that is because they were created to save people's lives from danger and even death, like a lifeguard tower or a lighthouse. Now, think of yourself in the ocean, in a storm. You really can't see too far ahead of you, ahead, period. And the winds are just blowing at high speeds, and the waves are hitting. And you're just hoping to find dry land. And imagine seeing a lighthouse and seeing that light. You know, there's two main purposes of a lighthouse, and they are to serve as a navigational aid as well as to warn boats of dangerous areas. And if you think about it, life has often been compared to a storm. You know, you have a lighthouse, and it's there to provide direction and warning to those who could be in a storm or caught in some kind of tempest. And when those storms of life hit, it would be great to have a lighthouse to serve us as a navigational aid and to warn us of danger or dangerous areas, wouldn't it? And the reason why I say that is because sometimes when we get hit with storms, we don't know which way's up, which way's down. You ever feel that way inside? You can't think right? It's hard for you to process reality. Sometimes when you get hit with a massive storm, your reality gets distorted by what you're going through. It hits your feelings. It would be so awesome if we could just have a button, like an easy button. I'm getting to that. Don't rush me. I like to take the journey, the scenic route. I'm only kidding. You could rush me all you want, bro. It would be awesome to just be able to hit a button and that light goes on in our storm. Because let's face it, even during our storms as Christians, aren't there times when you run to the light of God's word and you close it feeling like I'm not getting anything? Has there been times as a Christian or as one who's trying to seek God that even counseling, etc., it seems like nothing's really working or helping you get out of the storm? Well, the beauty is that there is a storm. Well, that's not the beauty. That's the problem. Life has its storms, but the beauty is that there is a lighthouse, and as you heard these verses being read, you heard a lighthouse mentioned. Now, it's not as defined, but I wonder if we were to go with that analogy, I wonder if you caught the lighthouse in the chapter, in the verses that we read. Well, can you figure out what the lighthouse is? Well, what we're going to do is this. We're going to confirm exactly what the lighthouse that I'm speaking of is near the end of the message. First, let's consider the storm. How many of you have been in a storm recently? Let's say within the last 12 months. Wow, look at that. And it was tough. You got discouraged to the point where you almost felt like throwing in the towel. Maybe you were facing a financial storm, or maybe you were facing an interpersonal relationship or that was causing a lot of the issues. Or maybe it was a change, an unexpected change, or a change that you kind of had the idea that, wow, this is going to, it looks like something I'm not going to welcome is going to happen and it's going to be out of my control. Well, the beautiful thing about the word is that the Bible gives us little vignettes, if you would, of godly people who went through storms. Now, for them, it was not a vignette. It was their life, like Isaac. I don't know if you picked up on the different things that Isaac was going through as we were reading, but I would say he was dealing with a bunch of storms, a bunch of changes, a bunch of conflicts and people envying him. Have you ever had anybody jealous of you, and as a result of jealousy or envy, they started to treat you horrible? They were jealous of you? You ever feel like you were comfortable, everything was going fine? Everything was going fine, then all of a sudden it's like, I don't know what happened, but I felt like I was getting squeezed out. And that's what was happening with Isaac. You know, you could say Isaac was in one of those storms of life. It's not high winds and waves, but the storm he was dealing with is being brought on, believe it or not, by his success. Or his success came from the blessings of God, as we read. His prosperity, his growing wealth, was making his neighbors envious of him. And you know, sometimes that takes place, that happens, and some of us experience that. For example, you may be like I was, you may be Let me just stick with you. Maybe you weren't walking with the Lord and you were just doing your own thing. And then the Lord saves you. And he brings you to the church. Or maybe it was a different church where you might have been fellowshipping at, but let's just stay with you here in this church. And then as the Lord's blessing you, he's prospering you, you're growing leaps and bounds, and you start moving in the church. God starts promoting you in the church. And then you have some folks that start to get jealous. I mean, I've seen that. I've seen where God's been blessing people and promoting people. And then other people start getting jealous. And it's really an ugly thing. It's an ugly thing. And you would never think that God's blessing sometime can... Here, God's pouring out his blessings on Isaac, and other people are getting envious. And sometimes that's how the enemy works. You know, he tries to get the neighbors envious. And here, the scriptures tell us in verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land. Verse 3 of this chapter, if you remember our study last week, this is the very land that God told Isaac to dwell in, because there was a famine where he was, and Isaac had gone to this area, Gerar, and perhaps he was considering going to Egypt, and God spoke to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. You stay right here, and you, if you stay right here, I'm going to bless you. I'll be with you. I'll bless you. I'll prosper you. And not only you, but also your descendants. And if you remember in the big picture, the scope of all of this is that God raised up a man, Abraham, and through Abraham, he was going to bless the earth through Abraham's descendants, and that eventually one of his descendants would be born, which would be the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. And so the whole world would be blessed by the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, who died on the cross for our sins, and he's the whole reason why we're here. But there was no children of God. There was no nation of Israel. None of that existed. God created and made a people out of no people. And it was a miraculous thing because Abraham could not have any children. His wife was barren. They did not have any children. And only by God's divine intervention and blessing, they were able to have children. And actually, Sarah had Isaac, and he was a child of promise. And so that's where we are in this timeline. We're looking back in history, but that's where we are in this timeline. And now Abraham's out of the picture, and God made many blessings or many promises to Abraham. But those promises weren't dead when Abraham died, because when God gives promises, these promises were through Abraham, through his descendants, but for the whole world. And though one generation may pass, God is always present with every generation. And so God is present with now Isaac, Abraham's son. And Abraham is a godly man, and he's following the Lord. And he's right in the land, right in the place where God wants him. And it wasn't easy. He had his struggles. But at this point, we read that Isaac is prospering, as it tells us. He sowed in that land, verse 12, and reaped. And in the same year, he had reaped 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper, verse 13, and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. See, I like that verse. That's an awesome verse. And I'd like to put that on a t-shirt. Make that my life verse. I want my life to live in that. That would be great. The Lord blessed David. David began to prosper, and David continued prospering until David became very prosperous. No problems, just blessings. Wouldn't you like to put your name in there that way? Let's face it, that's not reality. Even being in God's will, and today, my friend, you might be right in God's will, and you've been going through a season of blessings. But the fact of the matter is that there's trials, there's challenges. And all of those trials and all of those challenges, all are a part of helping develop the vessel and the child of God, and to direct, also to direct the child of God. And so here it tells us that he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds, verse 14, and a great number of servants. So everything is fantastic until the end of verse 14. So the Philistines envied him. You know, the envy turned into conflicts. And because of their envy, and they started to feel threatened by Isaac and how wealthy and powerful that king and that those people, they were starting to close doors. The doors were closing for him in that place. Now, during this season of Isaac's life, the winds were fierce and the waves were hard hitting, and it just kept coming. It seemed like wave after wave after wave. Bam! Now, verse 15 tells us that the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled them with earth. Now, you have to remember that for these shepherds and living a nomadic life, water was a big deal. It's not like you and I. We're so blessed we can go get tap water, right? You don't even think about it, do you? I mean, we're so spoiled, we go get bottled water, and we drink water out of plastic, and that plastic is killing us, but we don't care. We keep drinking it. Read about it online, because you know everything online is true. But all kidding aside, we have water. We don't think about it. But water is, without water. Now, think of the wells that were needed for a man of such great wealth and growing wealth, having livestock and servants to keep all of this going. Wells were necessary. And so the Philistines, out of envy, they had stopped up all the wells. And so doors are closing. And then in verse 16, the king, Abimelech, he comes to Isaac. And then he says, look, go away. Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. You've gotten so big and you've grown so much that we're afraid. I mean, it's not what he's saying, but what he is saying, you're stronger, you're more powerful than us. You've got more than us. You're taking over here. We let you come and stay, and now you're taking over. So imagine that. First, it's sowing, prospering, growing. We don't know how many years that was. And all these good things, and then problems start coming. These waves start coming, one after another. And then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. So he had to move this whole entourage, all of his family, all of his livestock. I mean, this was no easy thing. And he was already somewhat of a wanderer, just knew that that's where God wanted him, so he didn't go way too far, but he wasn't being accepted or welcomed any longer. He, so to speak, warned out his welcome. And so he starts to work. He starts to try to get established. One of the things I hate the most is transitions. How many of you hate transitions? Don't you just hate transitions? And then trying to get settled. I was talking to someone just a little while ago, and they said something that resonates with so many of us. They don't do well with change. Right? We don't like change. We don't like transitions. But I'll tell you something. If we're sensitive to the Lord, God can use those changes and those transitions to help us to grow and to develop us and to bring us closer to Him. And so when we're going through those seasons, those storms and those changes, those ups and downs, and we're thinking, what's going on? There is something. There is a lighthouse that we can hold on to. And Isaac, he was a godly man. He was very different than his father, which I love that. Abraham, when there was problems, it seemed like Abraham didn't have a problem taking the problem head on. I wonder how Abraham might have dealt with these guys. He might have said, hey, man, I've been here. God's blessed me here. I'm staying here. Like you said, we are mightier than you, so back off. I could see Abraham. Remember, Abraham went and he fought to save Lot, remember? And he beat out all these kings. I mean, Abraham was no joke. He had, I think it was like 300 men that were trained to fight. But 300 men is not a lot compared to who knows how many. There were several different kings and their people. But Isaac seems to be more of a passive guy. And the reason why I bring this up and I emphasize this is because God uses different types of people with different personalities to accomplish His will. Isn't that wonderful? Because if every one of you had to be like me, it'd be a sad day in Clarkson and beyond. And if I had to be like any of you, I couldn't be me. And my life would stink. And what I love about God is that God chose you. He made you. He gifted you. You are a one of a kind. You are very unique and special. And the will that He has for your life will only work for you as long as you are true to who you are and humble, and you walk humbly with your God. And you'd be true to who you are. You never have to be. Isaac wasn't trying to be Abraham. Isaac was Isaac, and you should just be who you are in the Lord. And to me, that's a blessing. That frees me up when I see that God uses different people with different personalities and different interests, and yet He uses us to accomplish His will. Now, Isaac, he was a godly man, and he was more of a passive type. And so he didn't put up a fight. He moved. It says he pitched a tent in the valley of Gerar. He dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names of which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. So this was good news. It seems like a door's opening. It seems like, yeah, this is good. What running water? They came back with this report. But here comes another wave. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. So he called the name of the well Esek, which means strife, because they quarreled with him. And sometimes that's how it is. Isn't that life? Man, there's a time, think of a time, a season when you were just blessed and prospering. You feel like, man, this is awesome. You're on this mountaintop, and then you come down, and then it's one thing after another, after another. One thing. How's it gonna get you one thing? Yeah, I changed the lyrics to try to make it fit, but it didn't work. But that's how the devil is. One way or another. I'm gonna get you. But you need the lighthouse. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so, the good thing is Isaac, he doesn't just quit. He doesn't throw in the towel and say, you know what? Wave after wave, you know. He's being blessed. Neighbors are jealous. King comes. I mean, that's pretty big business. That's kind of like, you know, the mayor of the city coming to your house and saying, hey, get out of here. We don't want you here anymore. The king comes. He says, leave. So he relocates. He starts to work. He finally finds a place where he feels like, okay, let's settle down here. He starts to work and it starts investing time, energy, people, power. Goes through all this work. He finds, you know, his servants, they're the ones doing the work, and they come back. Hey, we found water. He's probably feeling, yay, and then conflict. It's like, man, when's this going to end? Well, not yet. Look at verse 21. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. And so they called it Sitna, which means hostility. So now he's dealing with envy, he's dealt with that, and rejection, and relocation, and strife, and hostility. Does that sound like any of your life right now, maybe? Maybe just right in your home, or in the workplace, or, and sometimes those battlegrounds can get tiring. Or maybe it's just internally that enemies just whacking you with one thing after another. But the beautiful thing is that God always works everything out for the good for those that love him. In verse 22, it tells us that he moved from there and dug another well. He didn't quit. And that's a word of encouragement for you guys. Listen, those of you who are listening and you're saying, yeah, that I understand what you're saying. That's me. It seems like I've been going through a season. You know, things were good back then, but now it's like one thing after another, after another, after another. Don't quit. I've said this a million times in times past. It's always too soon to quit. Some folks lose the blessing because they come short of being faithful to God, and they quit and they miss out. It's always too soon to quit. So he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. Finally. So he called its name Rehoboth, means room, or God has made room for us, as he said. For the Lord now has made room for us. And then listen to what he says. He's speaking in faith. He says, for the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. You know, and God, he allowed all these things to happen. And a lot of these things that happened, they just helped to bring direction to Isaac and to bring him to a place where the blessings can continue again. And that's one thing that we always know, that when we're under God's care and in God's will, no matter what we might go through from point A to point C, let's say, maybe B's kind of rough, God is always, always going to bring us to the place of blessing. God always brings us to the place of blessing. Now, there might be the cross before the glory. There might be, you know, the garden before the resurrection. But there's always the glory and there's always the resurrection. So then it tells us this. Then he went up from there to Beersheba, verse 24, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant's Abraham's sake. What do you think might have been going on in Isaac's heart? I mean, fear. There's no doubt that Isaac was afraid. I mean, yes, the door was opening. He was seemed like the Lord was making room for him. But yet, there still was that fear. That's why the Lord came and he said, don't be afraid. Those were some of his first words. And so Isaac, he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. You know, sometimes, and depending on our personality, after experiencing constant strife and hostility from people, challenges, even after the dust all settles, even after the dust settles, and it looks like the battle's over, oftentimes the child of God is still left with different insecurities. But the Lord is always so faithful to confirm his promises to us, just like he did with Isaac. I can't tell you, I've gone through quite a few things in my journey as a Christian. A lot of hurt, a lot of things that I've been subjected to. And even years after, as a result of it, it has left me a little insecure at times. And then I get so blessed when the Lord reminds me of things that he's spoken to me in the past. Just like God spoke to Isaac, he spoke to him earlier in the chapter, and he told him, hey, dwell in this land. And that was what God wanted him to do at that time, previously in the chapter. Dwell in the land, and I will be with you. I will bless you. I will bless your descendants. Your descendants will be a blessing to the whole world. He already had spoken to him. And so Isaac, he stayed there, and he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. And then there was a lot of prosperity and blessings, but then it came time for God to move in his life and to move him. And then there comes all those problems. And sometimes with the problems and the challenges and the prolonged, you know, things not really changing and being in a prolonged period of time like that, it's easy to forget the promises of God. It's easy to lose heart. And then even when things start to settle, even after, it's easy to start, you know, to have some insecurity. How long is this going to last? When's the next storm going to come? The Lord comes and he confirms his promise to him. And he says, listen, don't be afraid. I will be with you. I will bless you. You know, for us, as God's children, it's important to remember, I saw this and it just encouraged me, and I thought it would be a blessing to you as well, but it's important to remember that whatever we're going through, maybe some of you are going through something right now, and it's been tough on the outside. You know, you got most of it all, you know, in its place, and but on the inside, there's different things that you're going through, and maybe nobody else knows about it, but you have to deal with this on a regular basis, and sometimes you're feeling insecure. You're not sure what's going to happen next. Keep calm. Keep calm, because God, he knows what he's doing. You know, I wish I can learn this better and better. And I am. Because, you know, you can get wrapped up in whatever it is. And then when you get so wrapped up, it's hard to lose sight of the fact that God knows what he's doing. But after going through it so many times, you know, you start to eventually just say, you know, it's just like the last time. And instead of it knocking the wind out of your sail for, you know, 2 months or 3 months, it's just 1 month. Then after it being 1 month, it's like 2 weeks and 3 days. And after 2 weeks and 3 days, it's like a week. And then it's just becomes a day. Then it's just a few hours and maybe a sit-down session with a close therapeutic friend. You know, my point is, obviously, you grow from these types of things, and you start to really come to that anchor, so to speak. God knows what he's doing. I need to just stay calm. Just stay calm, because God knows what he's doing. So here God speaks to him. He builds an altar. He starts to worship the Lord and just bless the Lord. That's so beautiful. And then Abimelech, verse 26, came to him from Gerar with Ahuzeth, one of his friends, and Fishcol, the commander of his army. That probably got him a little nervous. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" But now look it. Things are changing. But they said, verse 28, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." You know, how? I'm not sure, but maybe the way the people were treating them, and Isaac didn't retaliate. Isaac just dealt with it. And he just, instead of fighting, you know, returning evil for evil, he just dealt with it and moved on patiently, quiet, and just trusted the Lord and tried and kept moving forward and tried again and more trouble. And it was those Philistines that kept dealing with Isaac. And maybe, you know, Abimelech and these folks, perhaps, you know, just through observation, started to say, "Man, this guy here, we see by his conduct and his character throughout all these negative things that the Lord is with him." And they seem to have some kind of knowledge about God, even though they were a pagan culture. And so we said, "Let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you." He says, "You know, we see that God's with you, and we don't want any problems with you." They started rethinking things. Verse 29, "That you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." And think about that. They recognize that this guy is blessed by the Lord. We don't want any problems with him. And maybe you're in a situation where people are giving you some hassle or problem. Just knock them out. I just want to make sure you're awake. Because Mama said knock them out. I don't know where this stuff comes from. Guys, pray for me. You pray for him. You don't knock him out. You pray for him. And just wait, because who knows? God might turn things around in their hearts. Now, they may never come and say, "You're blessed by the Lord," but eventually they might just back off and leave you alone. So stay calm. Stay calm. The Lord, he knows what he's doing. And so he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Oh, that must have felt good. Here God appears to him. He confirms his promise to him. You know, this is after he starts to finally gets settled and looks like things are going well. And then now he's at peace with his enemies. There's restoration there. That's awesome. And then it comes to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug and said to him, "We have found water." Yay! Yes! You know, it's funny how life is, right? Life sometimes it's a storm, but then eventually the clouds break and the beams of light come, the sun starts to shine. And that's the hope we have in Jesus, that there's going to be a better day. And so he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city was Beersheba to this day, the well of the oath. And then we take a little bit of a nosedive again. Verse 34 and 35, when Esau was 40 years old, he took wives as wives, a Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. And that's how it is sometimes. It's like, man, you got all these problems out there, you know, all these problems out there, and then all that just settles. But man, the worst is problems in the house, in the home. But that's this life. Remember, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And that's how life is. You know, life has its seasons of storms and seasons of sunshine and then more troubles. So if that describes your life, believer, then you're normal. You're normal. You're not a whack job. You're not crazy. You're normal. That's the normal life. That's the journey of faith. You have your ups and you have your downs. Sometimes God uses these things to help define us and refine us. And godly people before us, they had their ups and downs. And so I find comfort in these accounts. They help me feel normal. Say, okay, so my dysfunction and their dysfunction and is okay because we have a Savior who can fix it. And will one day fix everything. And he, just like God made the promise to Abraham, and it didn't end with Abraham, because the promise of God aren't contingent upon men. They're contingent upon the Lord. He's the one who makes the promise. So, having said that, my point is this. God's made us a promise. You are his. He purchased you with his blood. And he's promised you eternal life. And no matter what you go through, your ups and downs, none of that's going to change his promises. You are secure and you are his. And even through those storms, he's got you. And so, what is the lighthouse? What is the lighthouse that I'm talking about? Have any of you figured out what the lighthouse is? See, and that's a blessing. All of us come up with something that, you know, some are saying it's the Lord, it's the water, it's Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit. And I'm with you 100%. And this is what I wanted to, or at least, you know, for me, this is what mine was, my lighthouse. Verse 24 tells us this, and we'll end with this. And the Lord appeared to him, that is Isaac, the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. You see the lighthouse? There are four words. Four words. I am with you. I'm with you. With that beam of truth, you can make it through any storm. And Father, we thank you so much for your word and your love and your kindness. And we thank you for that promise. Jesus, that promise wasn't only given to Isaac, but it was given to many throughout the scriptures. And it was given to us when you ascended, before you ascended into heaven, you said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We thank you that your word tells us you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, and specifically for those who are in a storm right now, that they would just see that beam of light and understand that you are with them and you are going to restore them and heal them and help them and strengthen them. And we thank you that your promises are yes and yes. And God, you cause our hearts to rejoice, and we thank you for the joy that you give us because we are secure and sealed by your Spirit. We are secure in your grace and in your salvation. We love you and we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.